This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Recovery Radio. My name is Steve Martorano. We're here on Saturdays, each and every Saturday this time. What we do is talk about the disease of addiction. We get into the weeds, as they say, in the restaurant business on the issue of substance abuse, but we want to leave you most importantly with information about what's going on, but also the truth that there's help out there. There's a way out of this, and that's one of the goals of Recovery Radio. Recovery Radio is sponsored by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, about which more a little bit later. So we got an interesting topic today, and I begin with a kind of an ironic take on this, and that is it is not news that we are, as a society, in the grips of a very, very significant substance abuse crisis in this country, most sharply drawn into focus by the alarming death toll associated with primarily the abuse of opiates and heroin. It's no exaggeration to say morgues are overfilling. And as I said, that's now risen to a fairly high level in terms of public awareness. It is a political issue on both a local and national level. The public is alarmed, and rightly so. None of this, and here's the irony here, none of this is any news to the people in Orange County, Florida. What happened in Orange County, Florida, and some would say maybe this was ground zero for the whole problem, was back, 20 years ago now, officials in Orange County were shocked and alarmed that they were leading their state in heroin overdoses and other drug overdoses. This is 20 years ago. So rather than sit around and wring their hands, they went to work 20 years ago. And we're delighted to have Carol Burkett with us. Carol is in Florida as director of the Orange County Drug-Free Coalition, which is an outgrowth of what happened in 1999 in Florida, to tell us how they mobilized and what that looks like. Carol Burkett, thanks for joining us on Recovery Radio. Did I get all of that? Did I get any of that right?
You got every bit of that right. And Steve, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure. And I think you summed it up. I don't know that we would have realized we would be in the same situation as we were 20 years ago. But you're exactly right. What happened to Orange County and what we saw 20 years ago with heroin then, which is not as potent and has the high purity level that it does today. But you're absolutely right. We led the state in heroin overdoses and other drug overdoses, and it was the campaign of Mel Martinez, who was running as our mayor of Orange County to address this issue. And when he was elected, that was one of the first things he did, was to create the Drug Free Coalition. And thanks to his leadership and the continued leadership of our current mayor, Mayor Teresa Jacobs, We have sustained and are part of Orange County government, and appreciate the support that we get from the mayor and commissioners, because we certainly need that to be as active as we are in the community. But we are a small office. So if you were in Florida today, there's three of us that make up the drug-free office. So the larger and wonderful complement to what we do are the many volunteers and experts in the field from law enforcement, from prevention, from our faith-based community. Our treatment community is such a vibrant community. We have a drug-free workplace community. All of these communities come together and help us deliver those strategic goals, which we want to prevent youth from ever stopping. We want to work with our law enforcement to go after the supply side of drugs coming into our community, and certainly with treatment. We want to make sure access and availability is there from the professionals that provide that service every day here. So we're thrilled to be a drug-free coalition since 1999 and still going strong, which makes sense when we address this issue of what we're currently facing, like so many communities are, with the opioid epidemic.
Yeah, well, that's. I want you to take us back to 20 years ago, when some public figures down there took a look at what was going on and said this is a problem. 20 years ago, it may have been kind of a lonely fight, because I know it wasn't until relatively recently that anybody really understood that this problem, the problem of substance abuse was not something that was happening to other people. It was happening right in their in our own backyard. 20 years ago, it must have been like really hollering into a canyon. Tell us what that was like.
You know, it was. I think what this community does so well is quickly mobilize. And the coalition, the development of the coalition, really gave it that voice to spearhead. And one of the first things we did was apply for a SAMHSA federal grant where we could address the heroin problem and bring in the treatment and access for those that had a substance use disorder. And when we talk numbers, it almost pales in comparison, although every life is so valued, but we led the state, and it was 36 heroin-related overdoses in 1999. Today, Steve, at the peak, and I'll talk a little bit more about the Orange County Heroin Task Force, we saw 90 heroin-related overdoses in 2014, and once again, we had more than any other county in the state. Now, others are, I don't want to say catching up, but others are seeing the same issue and the same problem in their community. Some have far surpassed us. But I think we learned a lot from the creation of the task force and really mobilizing and bringing those professionals, expertise, volunteers. You have to involve the whole community. It's just not one sector. We need everyone working together so we can solve the problem. And I think that's what... I think that's what we did so well in 1999 and continue to do today.
Well, it sounds like you were among the very first governmental agencies to try to move this beyond a law and order, strictly law and order issue.
Absolutely.
And move it into a more medically based crisis. I mean, 20 years ago, politicians were standing up saying, well, we've got a drug problem here in Orange County and we're going to lock everybody up. That wasn't going to work.
No, you're exactly right. I think everyone saw, and it's getting everyone educated, too. I think that's such a big piece that the coalition does with all the sectors, is making sure people know that this isn't just, it's not a moral failing. This is a chronic disease, like we have so many other chronic diseases that our healthcare professionals work with. It's so getting people to that understanding that this is a chronic disease, and then what are those treatments? What's that treatment modality look like? And the fact that it can affect anyone at any time, no matter who you are, how old you are, your background, your economic status, it does not matter. Drugs never discriminate. I think that was so important, is just laying that foundation, getting everyone educated, and then they quickly saw the need. Absolutely, law enforcement serves such a vital role in the supply and going after those drug traffickers. But treatment, it to me, is just equally as important, because we want to engage folks in treatment, because we know treatment works and recovery happens every single day, and we want more people to experience them.
Carol Burden, our guest on Recovery Radio. Carol is the director of Orange County, Florida's Drug Free Coalition. That coalition was formed over 20 years ago when they noticed a sharp spike, an alarming rise in opioid abuse deaths in their community. Carol, obviously the deaths were the first thing that would leap out at anybody looking at the problem. Can you think of a couple of the other things that were impacting Orange County with regard to substance abuse 20 years ago?
You know, yes, and it wasn't, certainly heroin was the focus at that time. I think we even made national news, because when you have young people, when you have high school students that are overdosing from this, that gets just national attention. So I do applaud everyone for reacting the way they did, moving forward very positively. I think the grant funding we had really helped us to put those services where they were needed most, because in the same respect, you're right, sometimes the deaths is the first numbers we have, but we also were looking at emergency department visits as well. So people coming in, certainly that's another access point where we can identify this problem. So it was problematic for us, but in the same respect, we were having, you know, cocaine-related deaths. So there were other issues as well. You know, alcohol, a lot of emergency department visits for alcohol and alcohol-related deaths. So definitely a comprehensive approach that was taken. But that initial focus, we did look at the number of overdoses for heroin, but we certainly had other drugs that were in our community that people were overdosing and dying from.
Yeah, it's not hard to see the ripple effect of this thing. It begins with the obvious, well, that these people are dying. But as you just said, it stresses almost every aspect of the community, from law enforcement to healthcare providers, emergency room, ambulance. Everything is impacted by this. And I just, congratulations to you guys for well ahead of the curve, noticing that this wasn't a problem that was going to go away overnight. We're going to take a little break here in a moment or two, but you mentioned grant money a couple of times in your opening statements, and you know, that's, you know, people start talking about money, they sort of get a little shy about this. You can't fight a problem this large without money, right?
You know, funding is such a critical part of this, and we've been very fortunate in the state of Florida to receive funding most recently with the opioid targeted response grant, $54 million for the state of Florida over 2 years. So we're very fortunate to have resources just going directly into our community that can address the opioid use disorders that people are facing. So it's critical that we have that. And in the same respect, law enforcement now, so many of them are carrying naloxone, and that's thanks to that emergency medication that can reverse an opioid overdose. We have more law enforcement on our streets now carrying this medication and saving lives every single day, and that's because of grant funding.
Yeah, I read an article the other day that said that Narcan is being heralded as something that can save lives, but is, even at this late date, still not easily accessible by folks. So things like a drug-free coalition in your community and others can certainly raise awareness of how important Narcan can be. Carol Burkett is our guest, director of Orange County, Florida's Drug-Free Coalition. These are folks that have been sounding the alarm and working in the trenches about substance abuse for over two decades now. We have more with Carol straight ahead. Don't go away. This is Recovery Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Our guest on the telephone from Florida is Carol Burkett. Carol is director of the Orange County's Drug-Free Coalition, as we mentioned at the beginning. This was a group or an organization formed over 20 years ago to combat what, even at that point, was the beginnings of a very, very serious problem with substance overuse and heroin-related overdoses and deaths in their region. We bring this for a lot of obvious reasons. This is a community that was quick to move on this problem, but we offer it as it can be a guide to your community and getting maybe some of your elected officials to move in this kind of collaborative effort as well, because the problem now is, as we've been saying, everywhere. A reminder, Recovery Radio brought to you by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. They are in South Florida, or they are in Florida, in West Palm Beach. That's how Carol comes to our attention. So Carol, you know, 20 years now, you guys are sort of outliers in this thing. What did you learn, and what kind of recommendations does the task force make?
Thank you, Steve. And thank you again for having me on the program. This is an exciting opportunity because, as you just said, we want to share anything that we've learned, our best practices, mistakes are made along the way. We want to make sure that people have that information. So I urge folks to give us a call. But it was something early on when we were coming out of the prescription drug problem. As you remember, Florida was the epicenter for the nation for prescription drugs. And we saw our heroin deaths take just almost minuscule the amount of heroin deaths when prescription drugs were very prominent here. And we had illegal pill mill operations that were cropping up because the state had very weak regulations. And knowing how doctors were giving out large quantities of these prescription medications, it probably wasn't hard for many in the profession to not realize when this ends, and that's exactly what happened in 2011 and 2012, you have people addicted to an opioid. And when that opioid is gone, there will be another one come in, and that's really where heroin, we started to see that come back on our streets. Our mayor, who took the lead on this, Mayor Teresa Jacobs, she saw the information in 2014 talked to law enforcement, talked to our professionals, and said this is something that it was very unique to Orange County. Like I said, we had 90 heroin-related overdose deaths, which was more than any other. And when you think of Orange County, Miami is twice our size. Broward County, big, you know, larger counties, but it was very unique to Orange County. So that was something Mayor Jacobs quickly reached out to Sheriff Demings, asked him to co-chair this, and they put together a task force with 22 very strong community stakeholders that serve from a multi-jurisdictional effort, everything from prevention, from our judiciary, from law enforcement, treatment, and legislative as well. We knew that that was going to be an important piece of this. The task force met, our subcommittees met many, many, many times in all of those areas to form 37 recommendations. When they ended their work, the work did not end by any stretch. So we have 37 recommendations I can tell you today that we're still working on, and no one wants a task force's work to sit on a shelf, and by no means was this going to be that way. And the mayor and sheriff quickly created an advisory committee so they could make sure that these recommendations were implemented. And that advisory committee meets on a regular basis to look at every one of these and continue to look at the trends that we see. This isn't a problem our communities got into overnight, and it's not one that we're going to get out of. But some of the key recommendations I want to share with you, as we talked in the last segment, was naloxone. This was something that our EMS providers have had for 40 years. It's a very safe medication, but something new to law enforcement. And when they quickly saw that they could respond, and sometimes we're responding 20% of the time, they were there before our fire rescue personnel. They said very quickly, we're going to start equipping our first responders. And they did that with no grant money. They did that out of their own budgets and drug forfeiture funds to supply. To date, we have over 1,200 law enforcement officers carrying naloxone in Orange County, and I'm so thrilled. They've saved over 180 lives by carrying that medication and helping those with suspected opioid overdoses.
Of these 37 recommendations, clearly we don't have time to go through that entire list. How did some of those recommendations impact stakeholders like faith-based organizations?
Faith-based organizations, certainly they are such a critical component, a linchpin almost, to the prevention work that we do. But also, I just spoke to some faith-based leaders, and they are looking for that opportunity, how they can work, what's their role in this opioid crisis, what can they do, everything from their youth pastors getting out that prevention information so youth don't go down that same path, to having recovery communities hosted at their church and recovery groups hosted at their church, opening their doors for a safe place for families and for those that are suffering from substance use disorder to have a place to go. And I think that's so important. And getting involved with their local coalition or a task force that's involved in their community because they have the pulpit. They have the audience. They have an opportunity every time they convene to educate just about naloxone. A lot of folks still don't know how important it is that just you may know somebody, and it's so important to carry naloxone with you. If you get to someone in time, it can reverse that opioid overdose, and you are saving a life and then helping someone engage into treatment.
Yeah, we have about a little bit here before the break. Finally, with regard to the business community, how did they get involved?
Business communities, and I think it was probably eye-opening for them that they didn't realize really what their connection was. I got to talk to our Hotel and Lodging Association because not everyone who uses does it in their own home. They could be at a convenience store. They could be at a restaurant. They could be at a fast food establishment, a hotel. And just educating them on the epidemic and making sure they know they have the contacts in place. They're trained as well on naloxone because it could happen in their establishment, and they need to know how to respond, who to call. And even with their employees, you know, sometimes it doesn't go further than the ones that we work with every day. Opening the doors and offering a lunch and learn, bringing in your coalition, bringing in your treatment professionals, just to educate those that you work with every day, because there's so much stigma still associated with addiction that a lot of people don't want to say, I have a family member or a friend or a loved one that suffers from this. So just hosting a lunch and learn really can open up some new pathways for people to get access to treatment and learn more about this chronic disease.
And in your area in Orange County, did the business community embrace this idea?
Absolutely. And we keep at it, by the way. We make sure it's still on their radar, and I've had the pleasure of speaking to a lot of businesses, and I encourage anyone to pass our information along because we certainly enjoy coming out. Just giving us, you know, a half hour is enough time that we can at least lay that groundwork and people can at least know where to call. That's probably one of the biggest issues mm-hmm. is if you do know someone that's suffering from this, now what do I do next? And those next steps can be so critical.
Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Steve Martirano is who I am. We're here on Saturdays. We talk about the disease of addiction and the road to recovery. You know, that's we said about this program in general, but certainly in today, that it has risen in awareness to a pretty mainstream topic. People know the problem that exists. It's the news is often very, very grim with the death toll and all the subsequent suffering from that. But we, in addition to raising that alarm, Recovery Radio wants to remind you that, this is a tough disease, but people get sober. They do. Millions and millions of people are right now living in long-term successful recovery. So the program is dedicated to reminding you both of the seriousness of the problem, but that there's a way out. And it's sponsored by Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. These guys are leaders in the field of treating substance abuse. They are in the Lancaster County area. They are expanding into Pittsburgh. They are already in West Palm Beach. They are terrific, terrific people. I know them all personally. I've seen their facilities. They've helped lots of people. But again, they sponsor this program, not because they're selling you anything, but to inform you that people can get sober. Any questions about anything concerning this disease, your treatment, where to get it, what's going on, anything you've heard on the program, they'll answer the questions. They'll do that. This is somebody will pick up the phone. So write the phone number down. As I say every week, I hope you never have to use it. But Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, their number is 855-859-8808. Like I say, write it down, put it in a drawer, hope you don't need it. But in a crunch, who knows? 855-859-8808. As I mentioned, Retreat is in West Palm Beach, great facility down there. They brought Carol Burkett to our attention here on the program. Carol is director of the Orange County Drug-Free Coalition, which I mentioned at the beginning of the program over 20 years ago, alarmed at the rise in opioid or heroin-related deaths, began to mobilize very, very quickly. That's the good news. The bad news is we're still in a fix. If you'll pardon the pun, we're still in a bad way with regard to this problem, but they have been fighting this battle for a very long time down there with their Drug-Free Task Force Coalition. So Carol, thank you again. Among the many other things you guys have sort of led the way on or certainly are involved in now is something called MAT. Tell us what MAT is, M-A-T.
I would love to. It's medication-assisted treatment, which is the use of FDA-approved medications, and what's so critical, it has to be in combination with counseling and behavioral therapies, which provide a whole patient approach to the treatment of opioid use disorders. And there are three medications that were approved for opioid use disorders. Methadone is one of those, buprenorphine, people may not know that name. It's very long. Suboxone is a brand name that people are probably more familiar with. And then naltrexone, and it sounds a lot like naloxone, so it's a cousin of naloxone, but naltrexone, brand name Vivitrol. And that is the first non-opioid medication-assisted treatment that we have for our professionals to use. And probably one of the biggest misconceptions associated with MAT is that it substitutes one drug for another. But these medications help relieve withdrawal symptoms, psychological cravings that cause that chemical imbalance in the body, and it provides a very safe and controlled level of medication so someone can overcome the use of an abused opioid. And these are proven to work. Like I said, FDA approved. And it's something that we are doing locally in our Orange County Jail. Now, we have a whole host of our community providers that are working in all three of those medications that I just mentioned. But something unique for us, and it really came during the work of the Heroin Task Force, was to take Vivitrol. Since it's a non-narcotic, we can bring that medication into the jail and work with those, because we see so many people, unfortunately, that come into our jail, and just a word to Orange County Corrections and our health services, they do such great work. Anyone that's incarcerated in our jail is just a microcosm of the community that surrounds them. So we want to look for an opportunity, a way to help them, engage them in treatment. And we worked with three of our treatment providers to come into our jail. So this is no cost to Orange County. They're getting money from the state to provide this medication-assisted treatment, from the assessment to the lab work that's required with Vivitrol medication, and then actually getting that injection before they leave the jail. That's probably one of the critical components of this, is to be able to provide that. And that's a coordination with a lot of our folks serving at Corrections Health Services that can coordinate with the providers. And timely release, all of that has to go into consideration. But just to let you know, Steve, when we started looking at this during the task force, we had over 2,000 people in our jail that were at risk or addicted to heroin. And so we saw such a need. This is an opportunity to work with them. If they're in our jail for any length of time, it's a way to talk to them about this program, get that assessment, engage them, get the lab work done, all while they're in the jail, and they've had the opportunity as well to withdraw from the opioid that they were on, because that's critical.
Yeah,
to go on to Vivitrol medication, you have to have the drug completely out of your system. And we're probably the first in the Central Florida, and maybe the second or third jail in the state of Florida, but I can tell you, once we started implementing this in July of 2016, our jail was getting calls from other jails saying, how did you do this? And following that footprint, so they can, again, afford that same opportunity to those that are incarcerated.
Yeah, to stop that revolving door situation. You know, medicine-assisted treatment is nothing new. You mentioned methadone, and you know, people even mildly familiar with the topic know that methadone has been around for a long time. So there's nothing new about using medicine or drugs to fight a situation like this. So there was a certain amount of controversy about MAT procedures originally. Now I think less controversy and more myths or confusion. You made a very obvious case here that, you know, this is not a magic bullet. This does not cure anything, but this gives people an opportunity to then slow down the craving and then get to work on the core issues that may be causing the addiction. That's where treatment comes in, correct?
Absolutely. And that's such a critical component. It's not the medication. It can never stand alone. Engaging with our professionals, like Retreat, who I want to mention, by the way, is a very prominent member on the Orange County Drug Free Coalition's Treatment Committee. I thank them for always participating and just wanting to get engaged and volunteer their time along with so many of our other treatment professionals. But it's the work they do in educating individuals and families on the medication-assisted program. Like I said, a lot of people didn't even know this existed.
Oh, right.
So this is an opportunity, like you said, to help with those cravings, relieve the withdrawal symptoms, and once you're there, then it really does open up opportunities to engage in counseling and those behavioral therapies.
Yeah, you know, they often use the expression fighting fire with fire. To kill that metaphor a little more, this really is more, it seems to me, of building a firewall, slow down the advance of this thing, and then do the real hard work behind that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, but it gives them that opportunity.
Right.
You know, we don't have this with other drugs. There's not a medication that can help someone with methamphetamine, another very addictive drug. Cocaine, they're working on it, but nothing yet. So I think, you know, families, those that are affected with this, to please educate themselves about medication-assisted treatment and talk with those treatment professionals. Is this the right choice, the right opportunity for your loved one? Because they do have so much success in this. Like you said, methadone's been around since the 1970s, and these newer medications just continue to develop and show that they work and really help people recover. And that absolutely happens every single day.
So finally, with regard to the Orange County Jail, where you guys have been leading the effort on that treatment, have you seen over the years inmates sort of finding out about this and coming to you guys right away, not having to look for them anymore?
Absolutely. Well, we make a point, as soon as someone walks into our doors, the first people they see are medical professionals, and we ask them if they are dependent or addicted or at risk with use of heroin or an opioid, and they will tell you very honestly they are, because they're going to go through withdrawal symptoms, and we want to make sure that we note that, and we have protocols for that. But it's amazing to see how many want this opportunity. We now have our jail's medical director that goes around to the dormitories at our jail just talking about medication-assisted treatment, the opioid use disorder, and engaging them from where they sit so they can engage, whether it's in the jail. We provide those that want information so they can engage those community partners when they leave our jail. We want to make sure they know there's opportunities not only in jail but out as well. And we work with our probation clients. So we have a lot of folks in our community on probation, so they're holding sessions in the evening for them and their families so they can learn more about Vivitrol and medication-assisted treatment to see if that's a good opportunity. And we've had a lot of engagement in treatment. So it's it's rewarding when you see that. And if people can engage in treatment, we see a much lower recidivism rate than those that don't coming back into the jail.
The whole thing becomes cost efficient. Hi, we're back on Recovery Radio. Just a reminder, Saturdays we're here 6 to 7 o'clock talking about the disease of addiction, all brought to you by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. Again, any questions you might have about anything you've heard on the program or any questions at all about the disease of addiction or treatment, they're there to answer those questions for you at 855-859-8808. From Orange County, Florida, Carol Burkett has been our guest today. Carol is the director of Orange County's Drug-Free Coalition. This was a group formed over 20 years ago when that community saw an alarming rise in heroin deaths. In fact, they led the league at one point in 1999, and that'll get your attention if nothing else has done so. Rather than sit around and wring their hands or try to lock up, try to law enforce your way out of this, and they mobilized their entire community on over a 20-year span. They've been doing some terrific work. Carol, we appreciate you telling us about what's going on in your community and how you guys have been out there doing this for a very long time. We really hope that people listening up in our area now and wherever they're hearing this, because you can hear it everywhere now, will gain some notice here that people working together in a community can really get some stuff done. Now, you're a governmental group. It takes more than the government, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We could not do it alone. As you mentioned, law enforcement, they can't arrest their way out of this. Government certainly cannot do it alone. We need our professionals working with us, our other community-based agencies, people on the, doing the grassroots level work. We need them to get involved. And I think this it's an unfortunate crisis that we have in our community, but it doesn't mean that someone can't get involved, can't see what their role is, because we can certainly, through the work that we're doing with the task force as it continues through implementation and just joining your coalition, there absolutely is a place for everyone. And I think what our healthcare professionals, what we were able to do last year, and again, this came out of one of our recommendations, is just continuing those professional and community-based training. So just not for our professions. We want parents to be able to have that same information that they can take back to their loved ones. But continuing our professional trainings, because physicians don't receive a lot of information on addiction. and substance use disorder. So this has certainly been an opportunity for us in Orange County. We've partnered with the Orange County Medical Society. We held our first physicians conference last year, and it was a physicians conference, but it was a conference for treatment providers as well. And that was done purposely because we wanted that engagement, because these are the experts that are doing this work every day. So they had that networking opportunity and could learn from them, partner with them, and use them as a referral source as well when they do have a patient come in that's addicted. So continuing the professional trainings, I think, is so critical. We're looking forward to another great training this year and hopefully hosting even more of our healthcare professionals. But our treatment professionals really do provide that expertise at those trainings because this is something they live and breathe every single day, and they want to pass on the correct information, whether it's about medication-assisted treatment, behavioral therapies, new therapies that are available. They want to make sure that knowledge is passed on. And like I said, just to our community members, it's so critical that they have that. Every year we do a training called Heroin from the Poppy Plant to Recovery. And I think that's so true to see how that's progressed. And the end result is, as we've said so many times on the program today, people do recover. We want them to know what that road to recovery looks like. And that's where our professionals provide that expertise. One of the recommendations I didn't get to talk about, but I think it's critical to this because it gives those folks in the healthcare field, and certainly our treatment professionals were very influential in creating that information, was we have a website that was launched as part of the task force. It's called heroesagainstheroin.org, and I left off the first part. It's OCFL, which stands for Orange County, Florida, OCFL, heroesagainstheroin.org. And the very first tab you see is Get Help. We want people to know where to go to get help, and that's for our professionals as well. We have a very robust 211 system here through our Heart of Florida United Way that our whole treatment community has come together and said, we're going to be on this, we're going to make it active. We want people to engage in treatment, and it's an easy number to remember to get connected to our local experts and see what the best options are for your family. And the treatment committee was just vital to getting that launched and providing that information to make sure we're getting out the right information to our citizens here in Orange County. And it's been very, very successful. We're looking at some other platforms in the future from social media, but just to have a website that we can direct someone to for resources for treatment, but also prevention resources. We have toolkits for teachers so they can start talking about this issue much earlier, as early as third grade, talking about prescription drug safety. So there's a wealth of information on there from our federal partners and others that provide these tools for free that we want people to engage.
Well, you know, as big as the problem is, and it is a big problem, it's clear that no one is asleep at the switch, at least as far as Orange County is concerned. We should all hope that our communities get as organized and behind something like this as they have in Florida. Carol Burkett, who is director of the Orange County Drug-Free Coalition, thanks, Carol. I hope you've galvanized some people listening to this, and maybe they can get a fire lit under some of their members of community to help with this problem. Thanks so much for joining us on Recovery Radio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. And just a quick shout-out to our two co-chairs of our treatment committee, again, volunteering their time, Louis Delgado, that runs the Couch Live and Now Matters More, and Dr. John Robinson with Psychological Services. Just great individuals, volunteer their time, give so much, and we certainly do appreciate all that they do and their leadership. And thank you again for having us on your program. It's wonderful what you're doing and the access and resources that you provide on a regular basis. So you're giving people hope, and you're giving families suffering from this opportunities and ways to get involved, and certainly important numbers to call when they are in crisis. So thank you for all that
We appreciate that. Thank you for your time, Carol.
Thank you.
Everybody, thanks. Have a great weekend. Please look for us, Recovery Radio. Bye-bye.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.